Hey, Fantasy Football Factory listeners, you can find every episode of Fantasy Football Factory on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Factory Podcast presented by Miller Lite. We're starting to look ahead to week four. I'm your host, Ben Mintz, joined, as always, by Stephen Shea. Mr. Shea, we got a lot to get into today.
Huge week three. A lot of upsets. We saw the Chargers win. We saw the Bengals win. A lot of stuff coming. We want to thank our friends at Miller Lite for the sponsorship. Great tasting, less filling. I watched a game yesterday. Or I watched all the games yesterday, obviously, with Red Zone and the Bucks were on. I showed it on Dear Mr. Fantasy. They got these new Miller Time cans, which are nice. Came in a 9-pack, 16-ounce bottles. Wow. They're aluminum. It says it's Miller Time. Got some good juju for my fantasy team. Didn't go undefeated, but I think I went 3-1, depending on tonight. But yeah, great tasting, less filling Miller Lite. Only 96 calories, 3.2 grams of carbs per 12 ounces. Celebrate responsibility. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Absolute best. Just sit on the couch. Throw back a couple of Miller Lights, maybe some buffalo chicken dip. Watch team score some points. The reigning champion of light beers. Thank you, Miller Lite, for the sponsorship. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Whole bunch of stuff to get into today. Let's start with just some of the top performances from yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Josh Allen, show out. He was a top performer throughout. It's 37.22. Fantasy points in a standard scoring league, 358 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown too. I mean, outstanding game from him.
Yeah, and no, it kind of felt like he would get on track. First two weeks, they had that bad game against Pittsburgh where nothing went right. They left a lot of points on the field. The Miami game, they got a lead, kind of slowed it down, et cetera. Wasn't too worried about Josh Allen, but that was the bounce back performance his owners wanted as they took him. A lot of people had him as QB 1, 2, or 3 going into the year, and he certainly looked every bit the part yesterday.
Yeah, he was my QB 1. He's not rushing for as many yards. He had 9 rushing yards yesterday on 4 attempts. He did have the rushing touchdown. He has that versatility. You're going to see him scrambling around, but he just buys time and makes plays. A buddy of mine, Alex, who's a huge Bills fan, actually brought this point out to me right before week one. He said he's a little bit nervous about Josh Allen around crowds because Josh Allen is a type of like jittery guy to get excited. And you saw his completion percentage really be outstanding last year, 69% with no crowds. But then when there is a crowd around, he does get a little bit excited, a little jittery. That could have helped with week one with his performance.
My only concern with him was he got that $43 million a year deal, and I wondered if that would hurt how much they ran him when he's making over $2.5 million a game.
Yep.
And so far it has a little bit, but if he still can get the rushing touchdowns, even if his rushing yardage goes down a little bit, if he can get you that 8 to 10 rushing scores, it's okay.
Yeah. We saw some other big performances in the AFC West.
We did.
Justin Herbert, 30.84 point fantasy points, 281 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. He had the nice 4 carries, 16 rushing yards, and he had a 2-point conversion pass to Mike Williams. I mean, he lit it up. And fantasy owners have to love them getting down inside the 10 and then them throwing a touchdown at the end.
I also want to mention the thing about Herbert that's so striking to me is his consistency week to week. The dude throws 281 was the least he's thrown for this year. He throws for 300 or more almost every week. And he distributes the ball well. He's got a great receiving core with Keenan Allen. Mike Williams, who we'll get into in a second, has stepped up massive. Top 5 fantasy receiver right now. Austin Eckler making plays. Huge win for the Chargers. But the thing with Herbert is the consistency. And for him to only be a second-year guy, for you could put him in there and you say, I'm getting my 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, that certainly ain't going to happen every week.
Yep.
But you feel good about 300 yards and 2 touchdowns with him almost every week.
Yeah, the one thing that I would caution about, and maybe he dispelled this with a great performance against the Chiefs, is his playoff schedule is a little dicey. So, divisional games you'd think are going to be a little bit low scoring, especially when the weather gets colder. So, in the fantasy playoffs for Justin Herbert, he's going to be hosting the Chiefs, which he had a good game against. He's going to be at the Texans, which you think they're going to win, take the air out of the football.
Yeah, that's also fast track though.
Yeah. And then they're hosting Denver, who's, you know, a very good defense right now, and allowed 0 points to Zach Wilson and the Jets, mind you, but a very good defense. So it would worry me a little bit, you know, fantasy wise towards the playoffs, but, you know, obviously consistency is king, and he has been that.
Yeah. And also, we're sitting here, we're headed to week four. I love your confidence, Shay, looking at the playoffs ahead in week four, but right now I'm just worried about the season, man.
It's in the playoffs, man. I mean, the season is just kind of, you know, you're getting ready for that. You always have to have your eyes on week 14, 15, 16, because that's where your money's, well, yeah, or, sorry, with 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, yeah, it's changed this year.
Yes, yes.
But Herbert, so we mentioned Herbert. I want to follow up on the Mike Williams thing, because, yep, you know, he was a fifth pick coming out of Clemson. He checks the boxes. I mean, you look at him, he's a freak. He's 6'5", got that athletic size. He can, you know, go up, get the ball, he catch the ball down the field. He's a good red zone threat. He's had major back problems his entire career.
Yep.
And this is literally the first time I can remember him being fully healthy.
Yeah.
And the upside was always there, but man, he is just stepping up huge. He had, I believe, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns yesterday. Something, yep, like that. Yeah.
122, yeah.
Yeah, 122,
2-point conversion.
Yeah, just he's turned into a monster, and I mean, borderline, he's a number one receiver at this point.
He's wide receiver too, and we got questions about him on Dear Mr. Fantasy yesterday, which was 11:30 Eastern every Sunday. You can't really sit him now. I mean, he's wide receiver two overall. Cooper Kupp, you know, a very healthy wide receiver one. He's player three overall. But Mike Williams is there at wide receiver two. And you mentioned Justin Herbert, you know, being so consistent. Keenan Allen is very consistent as well. But Mike Williams is the red zone guy. So if they're putting up points, Austin Eckler, we've mentioned, has had trouble converting red zone carries into touchdowns. Mike Williams is your guy. And, you know, you mentioned, we were talking before the show about, you know, they don't have Hunter Henry anymore. So they need a red zone guy, and Mike Williams fits that bill. They didn't pick up his fifth year option though. So he's a free agent after this year. So he's making himself a lot of money.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. But what an incredible performance by him. Some other standout performances. Got to mention Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, yep, the preseason talk. Oh, he can't see the NFL ball. I actually used that to my advantage because I got Chase on three of my four teams.
Oh, yeah.
It was like people fell off that.
Just watch him for 3 years, yeah, see what he can do.
Well, just I saw Justin Jefferson's adjustment to the NFL as a rookie, and I you saw 19 LSU, how great they were.
Shush.
And I thought Chase was stepping into him and Burrow. Just the fact that they already had that chemistry, and just the way when you watch Chase, when they throw the ball deep down the field, the way he goes and gets it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the eye test. He just snatches it out of the air. And Burrow, so comfortable hitting deep balls with him. He's got 4 touchdowns in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's explosive.
He is, you know, he ran a fast time at the 40, but he's not what you would look for as like a burner guy.
Right.
But he's able to stack cornerbacks pretty easily. And yeah, Joe Burrow just looks for him deep, and, you know, he's hitting that go ball. So good on Ja'Marr Chase, and good for all the managers that drafted him.
Yeah. While we're at it on the receiver thing, we got to mention Cooper Kupp again, the prodigal son of the Fantasy Football Factory podcast. I actually was out in the city this week, and I had 3 different people say, hey, love you and Shay on the podcast. Y'all got me Cooper Kupp in the draft.
If you got Cooper Kupp in the draft, you're probably undefeated.
Yeah, but say, if we've done anything, you know, of course we all make some mistakes, some good, some bad. But if we've done anything for you people, if you got Cooper Kupp on your fantasy draft, we appreciate your support of the Fantasy Football Factory pod. Because 9 for 96, 2 more touchdowns. He's, you know, I remember before, I had him ranked as my WR like 12 or 13, but I felt like that was low. He's the number one receiver.
Yep.
And this is not a fluke. This dance party's just getting started, boys. I mean, him and Stafford have great chemistry, and he's unguardable, and he gets tons of targets. But I'm just impressed with the red zone stuff.
Yeah. They're doing some cool stuff with him. Like, they're lining him up in the backfield. They're creating mismatches for him, which is really cool to see. He is averaging 26.23 fantasy points a week in half-point PPR. So, I mean, he's just a monster. 367 yards on 25 catches, 5 touchdowns through 3 weeks.
5 touchdowns, because that was the part, you know, you kind of, with Kupp, you're like, oh, I felt like you could get the 12 to 1,400 yards, but, you know, I didn't, the touchdown thing, you know, y'all was hoping for 8, maybe?
Yeah.
He's got 5 in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford's airing out yesterday, 29.5 fantasy points, 343 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's just, he's got to be in the MVP conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, terrible performance by my Bucks defense. Not a terrible performance by Tom Brady, who is fantasy QB one at this moment. Yesterday, he had 432 passing yards, 1 passing touchdown. This is a crazy stat. He led the Bucks in rushing yesterday. Tom Brady led the Bucks in rushing. 44-year-old Tom Brady which is not what you want to see. He had 3 carries for 14 yards and 1 rushing touchdown. On the year, he's got over 1,087, or he has 1,087 passing yards, 10 touchdowns to 2 picks, which you had in week one. One of them was on Hail Mary. 4 carries, 20 rushing yards, and 1 rushing touchdown. He's about to break the Drew Brees' passing yards this week in New England, which is great job by the schedule makers to line that up. But, I mean, he's Mr. Consistency. Do you think that he's got... So, we're through 3 weeks. So, we got 14 more to go. Do you think he's going to break the touchdown record?
In this season?
In this season.
And it's what is it, 50?
55?
I don't know about that. Here's... Look, I love Brady this year. I thought it made sense for him to go off in fantasy now that second year in this offense, especially adding Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski like fully to Mike Evans and Godwin and all the weapons they have. I don't think he's going to get there on the touchdown record solely because I think the Bucs are too good, Jay. They're going to be playing with the lead. Like the game script yesterday when they got behind goes for 430. I don't think that's going to be the game script too often with Tampa because they're such a good team. And so I think the fact that they're really good is going to end up costing him some fantasy.
I mean, he only threw 1 touchdown yesterday. He's on pace right now to break the record. So the record is 55 by Peyton Manning. He's on pace to throw 57 right now.
I think he might get to like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw 48 last year. I think Brady could get to 50. But I don't know about 55.
What if he does that after winning 7 at age 43, just comes back and breaks the touchdown record the next year?
I'm going to go on record. Today is September 27th, 2021. Tom Brady's going to break this passing touchdown record. I had a thought about this earlier this season, that he's going to get like 50. But now that he's on such a roll, 56, very attainable. Yes, the game script kind of got away from me yesterday. They passed it so much.
Well, no, that's good for the passing touchdown. Right. Even if you only had one, I think the problem is they're going to get up a couple touchdowns in a lot of games and not be as worried about it.
I think this is going to be kind of a vendetta thing. Peyton Manning right now is the top of that list. Tom Brady's going to want that. Do it in Tampa on his terms. I think we're going to see that.
Look, he's a hard guy. If you bet against Brady doing anything at any point of life, then you're
there you go.
Yeah, you're probably...
This week in New England's going to be great.
What'd you think about the Bucs? No Antonio Brown. You know, how'd you think everything went?
Not great. I mean, they just didn't run the game script. They didn't run the ball. Like, there was... Bruce Arians was asked about it after the game, and he was like, oh, well, you know, we kind of got down. Yes and no. I mean, they were down 7 points at halftime. They missed a 55-yard field goal. You know, I get kind of the hurry up on that drive, but overall, they had... They just didn't run the ball. Like, they didn't run it with Leonard Fournette. They ran it with Ronald Jones like a couple times, like on one series. But they really didn't do anything. Like, my guy, Giovanni Bernard, had 9 catches, 51 yards. We'll talk about him as a potential fantasy ad later. They had no commitment to running the ball. Was way too pass heavy. Mike Evans had a good game. Godwin had an okay game, kind of in garbage time.
Yeah, Godwin got
hurt.
We did props. My props on my blog yesterday went 4-2. Godwin had like a 10-yard catch that barely got it with like a minute and a half left. I got it by like two yards.
He had like a 20-something yard catch earlier, and it got called back for illegal shift, I think. So, I mean, he should have had a lot more. But yeah, they left a lot out on the field yesterday. It was not a good showing by my team.
Happens, man. Y'all still 2-1. Yep. You know, can't panic too much yet. I can't imagine if you're a Bucs fan.
Yeah, let's talk about some other standout performances from yesterday. Davante Adams. So 12 catches, 132 yards, 1 touchdown, 18 targets.
We got to talk about this Davante Adams getting helmet to helmeted and laid out on the field in the fourth quarter.
He's out cold, right?
He's out cold. He goes into the tent. If he was in that tent for more than 18 seconds, I'm going to be surprised. He goes in the tent, sits out one play, and is back out there. There's no way he answered 5 questions. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of a bad look for the NFL.
Yeah.
Because that was such a bad helmet-to-helmet hit.
It was bad.
It didn't get flagged.
I don't know that it should have been flagged.
Well, the ref was at a tough angle for it.
The ref was at a tough angle. He was behind it. But, like, Adams missed the ball. So it was just kind of a drop. But he's falling forward. You know, he's not vertical. He's falling forward. Where's the defender supposed to end? He hit him with a shoulder. Part of his helmet went into, you know, his face mask. But there's no real surface area right there if Davante Adams is kind of leaning forward, falling down. I could understand how it would get flagged in today's day and age.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy it didn't. Just like, I felt that would have been bad principle. It didn't end up mattering. The Packers with an incredible last second win. But yes, very odd how he was just out cold, and then he was right back out on the field.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I don't know who that idiot was that went against Aaron Rodgers' props last night on Sunday night on that parlay. Yeah.
That was looking tough after the first drive.
Oh, it was you literally, Rodgers had like 125 yards the first quarter and had over 270 and a half. It's like, you know, at least we won last Sunday.
Yeah.
Is all I can say. But great effort by Adams, as you said. You know, certainly, I know that he hadn't scored a touchdown. He hit the first touchdown last night, but we knew not to panic on that. I mean, there was no reason to panic on the fact that it took him till week three to score a touchdown, I didn't think.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson bounced back, too.
Jefferson bounced back. Huge miss on KJ Osborne. He only had two catches, 26 yards. I thought that was a lock of the century, him going over 40 and a half. After being the Vikings' leading receiver the first two games, it wasn't as high of a scoring game as I would have liked to see, but we did see some guys emerge. We saw Justin Jefferson, yes. Tyler Conklin, tight end one yesterday. Overall, he's tight end nine on the year. He had eight targets, seven catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. He could be worth an ad. Like, I'm not going to invest a lot of money in Tyler Conklin, but he is a guy who, if you need a tight end and are on waivers, he's a guy you might throw, you know, a dollar or two on.
Well, yeah, and you kind of mentioned this year that unless you got one of the very top tight ends, you're kind of playing the week to week, playing the hot hand, and he hits that strategy.
Yep. But yeah, Justin Jefferson bounced back. He had 11 targets, 9 catches, 118 yards, and a touchdown. So good to see him bouncing back. And Adam Thielen, I mean, that guy just keeps finding the end zone.
The thing with Thielen, as long as he stays healthy, he's just so good in the red zone, the way they design it. I worry if his body, he's kind of broken down. The seasons have gotten midway. And then also, while we're on the Vikings thing, Kirk Cousins is QB4.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, they're 1-2. I think they're good.
Really? Like,
yeah. They should have won at Arizona. They lost at OT to Cincinnati. I don't think they're a bad football team. At all.
Yeah. Missing Dalvin Cook yesterday. Alexander Mattison had a nice game, over 20 fantasy points. But yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins, especially, it wasn't even actually in garbage time yesterday because they just got up on Seattle. They kept passing it and they kept scoring.
Yeah, and I don't know. He just looks, I don't know what it is. He's not making maybe as many mistakes as he's made in the past, but he looks good. I've been watching a lot of their games. Looks really good. I mean,
maybe. He's certainly a fantasy relevant guy. If I'm in a standard league with one quarterback, you confident playing Kirk Cousins as your QB1 every week?
I am in the games that are indoors. I know that that's a weird way of saying it, but Minnesota at home, they score, those games are always high scoring in those Vikings home games. You know, maybe at Chicago or at Green, you know, those colder.
It's not too well at Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just, in general, I think, but you know, on those fast track games, yeah, I am.
Speaking of Chicago, I just want to throw this out there. We talked about this actually yesterday on Dear Mr. Fantasy. Again, 11:30 Eastern, Sundays on the Barstool Sports Back.
Good
turnout, yeah. We answered a lot of good questions. Yeah. Allen Robinson. What do we do with him? Because right now, Andy Dalton is going to be out for probably another week, maybe two. Justin Fields looked horrible behind that offensive line against Cleveland. Obviously, Myles Garrett is going to pose a certain threat. But
Four and a half sacks, though. Wow.
What is your fantasy read on Allen Robinson? I guess we're kind of skipping ahead to panic button. We hadn't really talked about this one, but what do you do if you're an Allen Robinson owner?
I'm sitting him down until I see Justin Fields start for 150 yards in an NFL football game. Because right now, what I saw yesterday, there, and it wasn't just all Fields. The O-line couldn't block. Myles Garrett tore him up. But that was not an NFL passing game. And I have to see some semblance of an NFL passing game before I can start him again. Because that was that bad. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Yeah. It's tough. Because even with, you know, Andy Dalton playing week one, he got 11 targets, but he had 6 catches for 36 yards. So it's like, where is the upside? Last week, he had a touchdown early with Andy Dalton before he got hurt. And then Justin Fields hit him right in the hands in the end zone. He dropped it. But then, yeah, this week, like, the offense just looked inept. Like, next week, the Bears are playing the Lions. The over-under is 44. I think you got to hammer the under.
It was the game in Chicago or Detroit.
I think it's in Detroit.
Okay, like I just feel like that is relevant. Those dome games get a little wilder.
Yeah, the Soldier Field is that long turf too. Allen Robinson is a really tough like wide receiver three at this point.
I just think you got to take a wait and see approach though. You know, you don't cut him.
Don't cut him.
But you got to see Field. I mean, that was not an NFL offense out there yesterday.
It would be better for Allen Robinson if Andy Dalton is a starter.
Oh, I think that's putting him out. I believe the Bears, after the sacks total yesterday, had like 1 yard passing, if you factored in the
one
passing.
1 net yard, yeah.
Yeah, 1 net yard after passing yards minus the sacks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, 1 yard passing in a pro football game. They make the Saints passing offense look like a juggernaut.
Yeah.
And while we're at that, What week will it be when Jameis Winston cracks 150 yards in a game?
That's my new favorite plot prop to follow. It's not Jameis Winston interceptions. It's Jameis Winston passing attempts. Yesterday, for some reason, it was at 29.5. We looked at the first couple games and we debated this yesterday on Dear Mr. Fantasy. For week one, 20 pass attempts. Okay. They took the air of the football. They were winning by so much. Week two, 22 pass attempts. You're saying, you know, they can't block anybody. They just couldn't convert first downs. I'm like, all right, like 29.5 seems like a pretty big jump. Yesterday, 21. So he's at the 20, 21, 22 mark every week. You got to go under until he can hit 30 over 30 pass attempts.
Yeah, you got to go under anything in that passing game for the Saints right now.
Marcus Callaway, a little bounce back, scored a touchdown.
Did you happen to see that play?
I didn't know.
You didn't see? Oh, it was a classic Jameis. Jameis is.
Oh, that was the he was falling down?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That one, and Callaway made an adjustment in the end zone, but.
That should have been a pick.
Yeah. And then Jameis threw another one into triple coverage in the red zone that wasn't a pick.
Like off his front foot. It was very as lackluster as you can imagine.
The Jameis Winston experience, ladies and gentlemen. 2-1, though.
I was trying to tell you, he's going to have games where he's going to win you games that you shouldn't win, but then he's going to have games where you should easily win and you lose the game. But I'll give you your limelight right now.
Let's have it. I want to hear it because I've been getting bashed.
Najee Harris. So yesterday, 14 carries, 40 rushing yards. Not good.
No.
But 19 targets, 14 catches, 102 receiving yards. He had 21.2 fantasy points and half point PPR. He is RB8 right now. So that is first round value.
Well, here's the thing with Najee Harris. I thought that he'd find the end zone more. Mm-hmm. That ain't happening. They can't score. I was concerned about the offensive line. My concerns have been more than validated. Yeah. They stink. But my analysis of Najee Harris coming out of Alabama was how good he was catching the ball and the fact that he's a three-down back for Pittsburgh and took over 375.5 receiving yards for the season, Stephen Che. And he had a hunt yesterday. He got almost a lot of my thoughts on him was the value catching the ball in the backfield. Yes, he has not run the ball as well or gotten the end zone as well, but he's three down back catching the ball.
So
I do feel a little better about it.
Congratulations on that. Let's.
They still suck, though.
They're terrible. Big Ben is awful.
It's time to hang it up.
Last year was time to hang it up for Big Ben. Jersey Jerry saying that he wants Big Ben next year, too. That was a week one take, but.
He was feeling himself.
Tough. All right. So something I looked at. And that is pretty interesting. So I looked at the top five fantasy scoring running backs from week three, and I took their averages. Then I went for the whole season. Obviously, we only have three total weeks, but I took the averages of that to see kind of what it looks like. Week three, the average top five scoring back, 15 carries for 73 rushing yards, one rushing touchdown, 9 targets. This is all thrown off by Najee Harris, 7 catches, 54 receiving yards, no receiving touchdowns. Interesting. So it could, because you're basically at a 3-2 ratio, essentially not even between rushing yards and receiving yards. Now we look at the top five scoring running backs for the first 3 weeks of the season. It is somewhat predictable. So we've got Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Chris McCaffrey, who's now hurt, DeAndre Swift, who's a surprise to be up there, and then Austin Eckler, who is kind of a fringe first rounder, probably early second rounder in most leagues. The average per game right now for the top five scoring running backs, 16 carries a game. 67 rushing yards a game, 5 targets, 5 catches, 41.5 receiving yards, and then 1 receiving touchdown a game.
Well, and this is interesting because I think it's time to almost reevaluate how we play fantasy football.
Yes.
And it's started with the super flex thing. If you're in a 2-quarterback league, that already kind of game changes it. But this is this fallacy where everybody spends all their money in auctions or their early draft picks on these top running backs, and they get banged up like crazy.
Yep.
I mean, running back is
Christian the most McCaffrey hurt, Dalvin Cook hurt.
Most interchangeable position in pro football. And the NFL is getting away from the traditional three-down back. Yeah. I mean, even look at Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon's on the field. Like, Jones is still great because he's in the end zone, but A.J. Dillon's on the field 40% of the time now.
Yeah.
And it's this fallacy. And it's like I've had a lot of fantasy teams where you spend that early pick, all your thing into one guy, and then he has a bad year, he gets hurt, and your season's just sunk.
Yeah.
And it's almost kind of like You got to find the, it goes back to your no RB theory a little bit, where you can, you know, those top receivers, if you take them, you can count on them more. Yeah. I feel like. And then, you know, you find the value where you can at running back, kind of like the NFL does. You know, you find the fifth round pick guy, you put them in, you play the waiver wire, whatever. You find guys, especially in half point or full point PPR, you could find these guys that get targets,
yep,
that you can get 9-10 points consistently out of. But I think we're starting to get away from that, like, go all in and spend all your money on these top running backs because it burns you too much. It's just too high risk and volatile.
Yeah. So something that I would advise some fantasy managers to take a look at is just look at your scoring system. Assuming you're in half point PPR or even full point PPR, this is for you, is that take a look at running backs who are getting 4 to 5 receptions a game. Take a look at guys who are also getting some carries. So two guys that I really like, they're both in Atlanta. So we got Mike Davis, who I was big on going into the preseason. He hasn't really converted.
Well, we didn't know Cordarrelle Patterson's role was going to get this big, because we thought the big thing on Davis was we thought he was three downs.
Yes, agreed. But he is putting up stats of almost a three down back. So he's getting 12 carries a game and 5 catches a game. That's, if you look at the top 5 scoring running backs, it's a little light on the carries, but overall he's right there.
Yeah.
His issue right now is he has not found the end zone in 3 games. And Atlanta, their offense, little worried, but he should be that guy. Cordarrelle Patterson has been in around the end zone on some plays. Mike Davis has been there as well. But Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy who, if you're in Yahoo, he is a wide receiver / running back, so you can play him at either. And then in ESPN, he is a wide receiver only, I believe. But he's averaging 4 catches a game for 51 yards. That's kind of what you want to see. And then he's getting, in every game this season, he's had 7 carries. So this is kind of the even disbursement of kind of what you're looking to see as far as rushing attempts and receiving yards and receiving opportunities.
And cheap value.
And cheap value,
that's,
yes.
That's so much of what we're talking about here, is finding guys where you don't have to put up much capital and you can plug them in and play. And I think that's the big part of it.
So if you have like a running back that, you know, was regarded pretty highly in the preseason, and you can essentially downgrade, I'm going to put that in air quotes, downgrade to one of these guys who catches a lot of passes, maybe not as many rushing yards, maybe hasn't found the end zone yet, like a Mike Davis or something like that, and upgrade at the wide receiver position, which is a less risky position as far as injuries and missing time and also being predictable. As one of the top scorers, I think that's a move you should look to make.
And I think this is a perfect transition to this. If you're trying to spend the bare bottom amount of money on running backs, let me tell you about some bare bottom clothing. Before you pack for your next trip, check out Bare Bottom Clothing. Their lineup of versatile menswear is perfect for getting it done this summer. They have the internet's best deal. You can get 2 unbelievably soft, lightweight tech tees and a pair of stretch shorts for under $100. Don't get caught with shorts below the knee. With their 5.5 and 7-inch inseam styles, Bare Bottom has your summer covered and now even the fall. Everything is built for value. You're getting the softest and stretchiest clothes in the game for a fraction of what you would have to spend with the big guys. Their 5-star rated shorts, swims, and tees have gained a cult-like following of thousands of guys who have made Bare Bottom the MVP of their closets. Giving back is the core of what Bare Bottom does. They also donate a school lunch to a child in need for each item sold. Go to get free shipping on your first order at barebottomclothing.com with code FACTORY. That's B-E-A-R, like the animal, bottomclothing.com, and use code FACTORY.
Love that. 2 more guys I just want to touch on with that are would be potential trade targets of mine. Chase Edmonds right now, 17 targets, 16 catches, 121 yards.
I liked him going in. I know Connor got the red zone.
James Connor being the red zone guy.
And that's what it is. And yesterday we saw that, Connor with 2 touchdowns. But they run that wide open offense. And so I think Edmonds could be a solid, like, you know, not a sexy RB2, but that 10 to 12 point guy we talk about.
Yep. Mentioned Leonard Fournette. He's at under 100 rushing yards for the season. He's at 92, but he's got 12 catches for 77 yards. He will get some goal line work, certainly. Jamal Williams. We saw DeAndre Swift be an RB4. They're going to be trailing in a lot of games. Williams is on the field a lot. 28 carries, 120 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. He's also got 13 catches for 93 receiving yards. So these are guys that you can essentially plug in, try to trade for, plug in and be upgrade at the receiver position. And I don't think you should see too much of a drop off.
And you need to plug in your number 3 or number 4.
Yep. And one other thing that I do want to walk back. It's my Derrick Henry take. He was my RB2 going in. After the first game, I did get spooked thinking, okay, like if they're going to be really bad, it's going to be problems for him. they're manufacturing touches for him in the passing game, which is something they have not done before.
Never.
So he has 12 catches for 105 yards through the first three games.
He had 19 the whole last season.
He had 19 catches all last year. So, I mean, if he's getting four catches a game, this completely changes Derrick Henry's value because he is an absolute monster in the red zone. He's a guy that will finish RB1 if they keep manufacturing catches for him. Again, we were going back to, you know, five catches, 41 and a half yards a game for a top five running back. If he's getting four catches, he adds so much extra value rushing the football, and he's going to be your goal line guy. You got to roll Derrick Henry.
And the other thing with Derrick Henry, we talk about the running back injury problems. I mean, you look at McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara's had injuries. In his career, Dalvin Cook gets nicked up. Look, you never want to say anybody's indestructible because that'll be clipped and there. But he's damn near indestructible. Yeah. And he, in the running back injury thing, he's been the most reliable as far as being out there week to week, too. And I think that your best availability is availability.
Yeah.
And speaking of a panic button on a couple, while we're on the Titans, A.J. Brown, hamstring injury. The warning signs were a little bit there. They mentioned he was having hamstring problems in the preseason. They downplayed it. You know, was wondering what was going on the first 2 weeks. Then he left early with the hamstring. Look, you know, when those body types that are those freak athletes, those 6'5", 6'6", guys that have the muscles and stuff, when you have hamstring injuries on that kind of frame, they linger. It's tough.
Yeah.
I think they need to sit him down for a few weeks and let him get healthy. I really do. I just think this thing's going to linger. You know, it lingered from preseason. They yanked him early in the year. They still got Julio. They got Derrick Henry. They got a running game. They're in a really crappy division, the weakest in football. I think it's a little bit of a panic for A.J. Brown owners, but I think you got to hope Tennessee shuts him down for a few weeks just so the second half of the year and playoffs you can get him back.
Yeah.
I think we're at that point.
Yeah, I mean, very much like DeAndre Hopkins, he's a tough guy. He's going to try and play through it. And I mean, you look at A.J. Brown right next to, you know, DK Metcalf, there's that, you know, the picture of them posing. And he's just super strong. He's almost as strong as Chevy Silverado. So football season is in full swing. It's time to up your tailgating game. A football season calls for the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. The available multi-flex tailgate, which is six convenient configurations, will give you a step up on your tailgate game. There's a primary tailgate, which opens up at the push of a button or the key fob from inside the truck. The inner gate folds down to a large step, so it's easy to get in and out of the bed. And there's easy access configuration with the inner gate that folds down, allowing you to reach farther into the bed. It can also become a desk or a surface for your tailgating meal. That is awesome. I mean, going to football games this year, which we're both going to do, it's going to be a great experience. If you have a Chevy Silverado, you can just kind of set up the tailgate right there. Not a huge, you know, tent or whatever you need to lay out. It's just kind of all right there for you. Chevy Silverado, modern and advanced with a ton of grit, a partner that gets things done. It's strong and dependable, just like the people that drive them. The strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. I wouldn't be surprised if Derrick Henry drives a Silverado.
I agree. I just thought you just took the words right out of the mouth. Derrick Henry's the Chevrolet Silverado of fantasy football.
Yeah. All right. So with A.J. Brown going down, what does this do to the fantasy value of Julio Jones?
I mean, you would think it helps it, but yesterday was weird watching that game. Julio was out a lot. I don't know if he was like banged up or what, but he wasn't even in there, and they were just throwing to like random dudes. Mm-hmm. But you got to think, in theory, it helps. He steps back into the number one role.
Yep. Target share should be there.
I mean, they don't – all their other guys, Jonnu Smith's not there anymore. I mean, they got a bunch of no-names other than that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, here's one I'm asking about, the panic button.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor. So, I mean, this was a low first round, high second round running back grade. He's RB26 right now. He's averaging – or he had 7.7 points yesterday. His carries the first 3 weeks, 17 – 15 and 10. I know he had six catches week one, and I was, you know,
that's wow, still fluke.
Jonathan Taylor, you know, he's catching the ball, you know, a lot more than we expect him to. Only one in each game since. He's had zero total touchdowns this year. We saw his best blocking lineman, Quentin Nelson, get carted off yesterday. Is it time to press the panic button on Jonathan Taylor?
Okay, looking at this Colts thing, this is an exact, if we want to have a perfect example, Shay, of what we talk about, the draft capital, the zero RB strategy. Let's compare Jonathan Taylor and Naheem Hines right now. Because Hines is going to, if you're in a PPR league, he's going to get you to 8 to 10. He gets tons of targets. He got in the end zone yesterday. You got him off the waiver wire. And he is going to not have as good numbers as Taylor, but in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. Would you rather have Naheem Hines and a great receiver, or have Jonathan Taylor and no receiver?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's an example of what we're talking about.
That is a great example. You have to roll with Hines. Jonathan Taylor did come on towards the end of last season, but we need to see more from the Colts offense. Carson Wentz playing on two sprained ankles. Like,
lack of playmakers, too. Pittman had a good game last week, but T.Y. Hilton seems done. We hadn't seen anything from him this year. Mm-hmm. And there's just not any guys explosive that stretch the field. And look, if you're only scoring 16 points against the Titans, they don't have a very good defense. That's not a good sign. And I'm kind of hitting the panic. But when I say panic, though, I mean, you can't fire sail him. I mean, last year he had a slow start and came on late. You just kind of got to knock on wood and hope for that.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to hope he improves. The decrease in carries each game certainly would have me worried. So I am pressing the panic button on him, but you got to wait.
We talk about game script and game flow. The Colts have gotten behind in every game they played this year, but they're 0-3.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be part of that could be a problem all year.
Yeah.
So, so much is when you get a lead, you pound the running game, you get the 25, 30 carries. But, man, when they're playing from behind, Naheem Hines is going to be out there catching the ball.
Yeah. Here's the thing I want to ask you about. This guy I couldn't have been higher on in the offseason. Darren Waller. Are you pressing the panic button on him yet? He's tight end 4, but yesterday, 7 targets, 5 catches, 54 yards. His first 3 games, 21.5 fantasy points. Great. Then 9 fantasy points and 7.9. That's not what you're paying, round 2, round 3 value for.
Yeah, but he's still got 7 targets. I mean, I think it's one of those things where the panic button, maybe adjust my expectations down slightly, but no panic. I mean, he's still getting targets. I've been impressed. I was very down on the Raiders receiving corps, but Brian Edwards is pretty good. Finally, he may be a fantasy pickup. Yeah. And then Ruggs, who I've made fun of for being a track star, is making some plays. And then Kenyon Drake's catching the ball in the backfield there. They're passing it. There's a lot better than I expected. And I'll admit it. But I still am not pushing the panic button on Waller. He may not be Travis Kelce, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. I think what the biggest difference between the two, Travis Kelce, I would say a much more savvy route runner. Darren Waller is just a physical freak. But Travis Kelce is always going to have that middle to kind of roam free in because Tyreek Hill is going to take the top off the defense. Henry Ruggs hasn't fully turned into that guy yet where he has that time speed, but his play speed isn't always the same. If Henry Ruggs can consistently be a deep threat that takes the top off the defense, we're going to see Darren Waller explode, but we need to see that first.
Yeah, I'm not panicking them.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was getting 2 targets and been an afterthought in the offense, I'd feel differently.
Yeah. All right, let's talk injuries. So we're taping this Monday morning, so it's been a few days. Christian McCaffrey, the unanimous number 1 overall pick in all of fantasy football, went down with injury. What are we doing there? Chuba Hubbard, how much fab budget are you spending on him?
Ton, because I'm worried McCaffrey's got a strained hamstring, which means, and we already saw Hubbard getting some touches before McCaffrey even went down. That crazy target share that we saw out of McCaffrey those first couple years, I think they're trying to limit. Even when he comes back healthy, you're not going to be seeing him carry it 18 times and catch it 12.
He was getting 29 touches per game before the injury.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think they're going to be careful with it. They're 3-0. They're looking like they might be a playoff team, which you called before the year, which I'll give you some credit for. Yep. I'm spending a ton. I mean, especially if you're a McCaffrey owner, I just think it's a strained hamstring. You got to be careful. I think it's a few weeks, and even when he does come back, it's going to be a time split.
Does it worry you, though, they're bringing in, Duke Johnson and, they're bringing in other guys? Like, the next day, Duke Johnson was on a flight to go to Carolina to, work out. Is Chuba Hubbard going to have that type of workhorse back? Because we saw this role turn into Mike Davis being, RB 14 or 15 last year.
I looked at Hubbard. He was one of the leading rushers in college football 2 years ago for Oklahoma State. Had a bad COVID year. It kind of went wrong last year. But he showed that he could carry a big workload at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
And so I like him, and I like that Joe Burrow. The only thing on them is I like their offense for fantasy, but it's like Matt Rhule is such an unders coach. It's he doesn't let them totally open it up, especially with how good a defense they've been playing. Mm-hmm. But I still really like him.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, these guys, it's every week. Every week we're seeing, last week was Alexander Mattison. You got to spend a ton of fat budget on him. They haven't put Christian McCaffrey on IR yet. IR is going to be 3 weeks out.
Okay.
So it's a short-term injury, you'd think. Hamstring injury, I would say tops we're looking at 6 weeks, which is a lot. Low end, we're looking at 1-2. So
You're a little more hesitant.
I would be a little hesitant. I mean, if Chuba Hubbard's going to be that guy, and even if they do sign Duke Johnson, Chuba Hubbard's going to get on the field for a majority of that, I would think. He's got to learn the playbook and things like this. I would be... I'm not going to say like go spend like 20% of your fab budget on him, but especially if you do have Christian McCaffrey, you got to unload the wallet on Chuba Hubbard. If not, I would be a little hesitant until I see significant injury news. Or if he goes on IR, you know, on Monday or Tuesday, then you got to spend a lot on him. But
good matchup in Dallas next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Dallas letting up some points. Mm-hmm. All right. Other injury news.
Tyler Lockett
being out.
We don't know anything yet, though.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook did miss the game. He was a true game time decision. Missed the game. Alexander Mattison, who should have been gobbled up in all leagues by now based on the injury history. So we won't really touch on that. Josh Jacobs has been out for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, and we'll kind of transition this into, you know, if these guys are worth an ad.
Peyton Barber.
Oof, where'd this come from? 23 carries, 111 rushing yards, a rushing touchdown. 5 targets, 3 catches, 31 receiving yards, so 142 total yards and a touchdown. I mean, is he worth an ad? He's owned in 7% of leagues right now.
Yeah, I think he is, because Kenyon Drake's a third down back and the passing back. But, you know, this Raiders offense, I mean, we kind of discussed their weapons. It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks very good. I mean, you've got 3 good receivers, a good tight end. You got a running game. Though there were concerns about the O-line going in, but it's definitely been better than expected. I think he's worth an ad.
Now, defense, Max Crosby is a monster. Dark horse for defensive player of the year.
Yeah, monster. That game he had against the Ravens Monday night was one of the best performances I've seen all year, other than Myles Garrett's 4.5 sacks yesterday.
Chandler Jones, 5 sacks week
that,
1 as well.
Yeah, that would do.
But yeah, I mean, Peyton Barber, former Buck. I was a huge Peyton Barber fan. He's not a fast guy at all, but he's a guy in between the tackles that can churn out 4 yards a carry. He did so more than that last night. He's a guy, if you have Josh Jacobs, I think you got to have him. It'd be tough if you already have Kenyon Drake, like you're going to carry 3 Raiders running backs. But Peyton Barber is a guy that I like, and around the goal line, he's going to be a guy that's going to get you touchdowns. So I think if you have Josh Jacobs, he's certainly worth an ad. Josh Jacobs is going to be like kind of a day-to-day guy for a while.
It seems like
a toe injury.
Yeah. It seems kind of like one thing after another for him to start the year.
Yeah, not a good start. But I would plug Peyton Barber into that Josh Jacobs role, and essentially Kenyon Drake's going to be that, like you said, third down back that's going to continue. Here's one that is probably owned in almost, he's owned in 84% of leagues. Trey Sermon. So we saw him start last night.
I wasn't impressed by what I saw.
10 carries, 31 yards.
I know he got in the end zone, but I didn't like really what I saw.
Yeah. And the fact that he was a healthy scratch week 1, barely played week 2. He's not a guy I'm very excited about.
I don't know. I just, the writing on the wall is if Elijah Mitchell was out there before him,
yeah,
even though Sermon was the third round pick, they're both rookies. That's a bad sign. And, you know, I mean, my analysis on that game, I was like, the Niners got to pound the ball at Green Bay, and they didn't really do that last night, and that's the way to do it. I don't know. I wasn't thrilled with what I saw. Still liking the stash maybe for second half to come on, but a little concerned. That was a big opportunity for him last night. I didn't think he took advantage.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Elijah Mitchell comes back and you're going to see owners start to drop Trey Sermon the next week.
I do too. Coming in because Mitchell had that 104-yard game.
Yeah. And then we touched on this briefly. Giovanni Bernard, 10 targets, 9 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. Is he a guy that you would like on an ad? I mean, he fits that. He had no carries. So he's strictly receiving.
Something I want to do, maybe a graphic or something this week of the cheap RBs that are you can plug in to get you those points. And Nyheim Hines, Bernard, Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds.
When healthy, James White, who got hurt yesterday.
Yeah, but just all these guys that you just don't have to spend anything on in drafts that you could put in and, like, here's your 8 to 10 points.
Yep.
You know, and I think because those guys are worth their weight in gold, and I feel like that part of fantasy football gets way undersold.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a big reason for pushing the zero RB strategy. But are there any other guys you like potentially on waivers this week?
I mentioned Hubbard. I'm starting to think Bryan Edwards maybe is worth a look.
He's had 2 double-digit fantasy points.
Just watching those Raiders games, I mean, Carr looks for him down the field. And it looks for him in clutch situations, too.
So he had, like, all his yards against the Ravens, like, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Carr's throwing for a lot of yards. So, I mean, I know they're spreading it out, and there's a lot of guys. But I'm starting to think he might be worth a glance.
He was a guy who last year was a rookie and came in with not as much buzz as Henry Ruggs, who was a third-round pick Ruggs was the first round pick, and then he just tore it up in camp, and the word on the street was, this is the guy you want on your fantasy team is Bryan Edwards. And then he got hurt and really didn't do anything last year. And then a little bit of that buzz reemerged this summer. I was like, Bryan Edwards is going to be the guy. And then you see week one through three quarters, he has no catches.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, another Bryan. But then in fourth quarter, when they need a clutch catch, they're going to Bryan Edwards. And now he's kind of coming through. He had a touchdown, I think, called back maybe last week. But he's a player. It looks like he's going to be a player.
And one other one I may want to mention, the Lockett injury pending is Freddie Swain.
Yep.
Because if Lockett actually is hurt, Swain is going to get a much bigger role for the Seahawks. Before we look ahead to week four, let's talk about another sponsor.
Let's do it.
Sponsor we're very pumped about. I actually went to Florida and taped a commercial for them last week. So you just never know where the world is going to take you. And we're talking about the place to eat chicken wings and look at beautiful women. And that is Hooters. Visit Hooters.com/Barstool and use Barstool code for $10 off $50 plus orders. Hooters is your go-to spot for killer wings and ice cold beer. Lots of Miller Lite available at Hooters. But football season means all the big games on the big screen. It's the only place that has world-famous Hooters girls that love football just as much as you do, and they're a lot better looking than your friends. Hooters has game day specials to keep you hydrated and filled up on your Hooters favorites all season long. If you can't make it to Hooters for the big game, you can still get your Hooters fix it up and save $10 with code Barstool when you order online. Check out Hooters.com/Barstool for details.
Love it. Guys, in week four, there's one guy. I always like revenge games. So teams that guys that are playing against their old team. Yesterday, we saw it even DeSean Jackson, 120 yards and a touchdown against the Bucks. We played for a couple of years. One I like next week, it's a New York Jets player. So God help me. Corey Davis. He's playing at home against the Titans.
Oh, okay, I can see it. It's just the only thing is the completing forward passes thing. But I will say this. As bad as it's been, you can't really have worse matchups as a rookie quarterback than New England at home and at Denver back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that is – that under 226.5 on Zach Wilson yesterday was
– I mean, see our guy Owen bet that? He did the I think Zach Wilson rushing touchdown – Zach Wilson over passing yards and Jets to win money line. It was like $50 to win like 2,000 or something like that.
As it should have been.
Yeah.
40-1 was not near enough.
Yeah. But Corey Davis is a guy I like so far. 22 targets, 12 catches, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. If they're going to go to anybody, they're going to go to him. He's certainly going to make it a point to say, I want the ball, especially in the red zone against his old team, to prove him wrong for not re-signing him. So I think Corey Davis is a guy that you're going to want to start in week 4, despite being on the Jets.
I'll tell you a guy I like going ahead of the week. We got the rematch of the 2019 National Championship game at quarterback with Trevor Lawrence against Burrow. Watching the T. Higgins situation, if he's out again, Tyler Boyd scored yesterday at Pittsburgh.
Great play.
Oh, yeah. Run after the catch, especially. But like Tyler Boyd a lot if Higgins is out, because this Jaguars defense, I mean, they allowed 31 more yesterday.
And they just dealt C.J. Henderson to the Panthers.
Yeah, it just they're horrible. I mean, this is a big Joe Burrow week Thursday night. So he's certainly someone I'm looking at very, very close. I guess that would be the first one I'm looking at.
Yeah, the two, I kind of mentioned them before. Atlanta going, they're hosting Washington, the football team. Over under is 48.5. Washington on the ground has given up 125 yards rushing per game,
which is not what somebody would expect with that front seven.
No, it's not. Surprising. Teron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat, Chase Young, like these guys should be, stopping the run for sure. Both Falcons running backs I like. Running back slash receiver for Cordarrelle Patterson. Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson I really like this week. Last week, or this past week, Javonte Williams were both on so big, and he scored a touchdown, had like 20-something yards in the first quarter. In the first quarter, he had 20-something yards and then just completely fell off.
The one thing the Jets have that's okay is their run D. That's the only thing they got.
He got stopped on the 1 yard line at a 2-touchdown prop for him.
Oh, yeah, you had that like 14-1.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. It's a tough one, Mr. Shea.
Tough one. I still like him going forward, but he didn't break out as I had expected. He did get in the end zone though and did double digit fantasy points.
I want to mention one other guy that I like next week, okay, because he's got a great matchup at home against the Texans. Is it time for Zach Moss to be an RB2?
He's getting the goal line work.
I've got him on a couple of teams, and I think he may sneak in as my RB2. He's getting touchdowns, he's getting the goal line work, he's on a team that scores a lot of points. He's playing Houston at home. Maybe you gotta look at.
Yeah, it's such an interesting one because, Singletary gets the start. But then when it's money time in the red zone, Zach Moss is in the game. He's catching passes. He's running it in. So, yeah, I think Zach Moss, he's a touchdown dependent guy, but he also gets regular work.
Ontest always liked him. I mean, I know he had some fumbling problems his rookie year for the Bills, but I don't know. He was just unbelievable at Utah, and I believe in him. I mean, I believed in him enough to where everybody was off him this year. I stashed him as a backup running back on like all my teams.
Yeah.
And so I think it's time to consider that.
Yeah. I mean, he's only played in two games, but he's got three touchdowns total. 86 receiving yards, 39 receiving yards, 86 rushing yards. He's a guy.
A lot of it's touchdown dependent, as you said, but they should score plenty of those against Houston.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right. This was a fun show.
I want to thank our team, too. Love Martin Black and Madeline and Richie doing an awesome job with our socials. We're going to continue pushing our parlays Thursday and Sunday night. Dear Mr. Fantasy, 11:30 every Sunday morning on the Barstool Sportsbook YouTube. May have a special guest this week. Don't know yet. We're going to throw – big week for me, really big week for me here. Ole Miss Bama stream Saturday. I'm flying to Vegas Sunday morning to play in the World Series of Poker. It starts back this weekend. So we're going to have a special guest on Dear Mr. Fantasy. Still will be here next Monday for the Fantasy Football Factory podcast on Zoom call from Las Vegas. Follow us on @FFPod on our socials, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And just appreciate all the support we've been getting. We're going to keep coming out with stuff. Maybe we kind of hinted at maybe a little merch coming out here soon. Yep. Who knows?
Yeah, it's going to be great. But yeah, again, you're going to get more of us on social, and certainly Sunday mornings we're going to be your go-to spot for all that last-minute breaking news. So look forward to seeing you then. But for right now, I think it's time to punch out.
Yeah, thanks to Miller Lite, as always, for sponsoring the Fantasy Football Factory podcast.